Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests. Viewpoint.
Good morning. It is Tuesday, the 13th of March. The time is 5 minutes past 10. It is Viewpoint, Talk Radio Europe's current affairs programme, with a panel of invited guests where we discuss the issues of the day. On today's show, we're going to be looking at the reaction to Donald Trump, President Trump's proposed meeting with the North Korean leader, China as well, saying that they are going to be having setting no terms on the presidential. We'll be looking at football stars as well, spitting in public at the supporters. Have we crossed a line there? But we're going to start off with, after a run through the papers, with the story that's making the most news. Joining me in the studio today, our regular correspondent, former ABC correspondent Nathan Thomas. Morning, Nathan.
Good morning, Giles.
Good to have you with us. And back and battling through a slight bout of ill health, but glad to make you in, Mark Connor.
Hi there, how you doing?
Very well, thank you. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. studio@tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page, should you wish to leave a post, is Talk Radio Europe Official, and we Twitter and tweet on TRE Talk is good. Looking at the UK front pages, though, from elsewhere around the world, the spy poisoning case continues to dominate front pages. The Daily Mirror urges Theresa May to put in the boot. You see what they did there. We need to see tough action. Headline on the front of the Daily Mail asks, and this is the important question, how can we go to Putin's World Cup now? The Russian newspaper Pravda talks of the UK and Russia being on the brink of war. It thinks the UK cannot forgive Russia for winning the right to host the World Cup. There seems to be a football theme running through this one. Meanwhile, Paul Wall of the HuffPost website expects Britain to seek a resolution condemning the nerve agent attack in the United Nations. The political website points out the challenge when facing the Prime Minister is to mount an effective response at a time when the UK's relationships with traditional allies are strained. And that, says the Daily Telegraph, adds up to, and get this, the biggest foreign policy crisis since the Falklands. United States and France says they stand with the UK as the Prime Minister gives Russia until midnight tonight to explain a nerve agent attack on a former double agent. Following Theresa May's statement to the Commons yesterday, US Secretary of State Rex Tillerson said those responsible for the poisoning in Salisbury must face appropriately serious consequences. This morning, the Home Secretary will chair a meeting of the government's emergency committee, COBRA. Lots of media attention, lots of people saying the government should have acted quicker, Salisbury should have been put down on lockdown. As we speak, they're beaming live TV pictures from Salisbury. Nathan, what sort of response can the British Prime Minister carry out? What threats can they say to President Putin, if indeed it is?
Well, there are all sorts of things, but the main thing is what you just said, is if it really is. And I don't know, of course, exactly what evidence the British government has that Russia is responsible for this. If you go for the obvious, yes, it seems very likely, but that's not evidence. And I mean, how far you want to go depends a lot on what you know about the situation. And I don't expect them to tell the general public everything they know or how they know it or anything else. If the government is convinced that it really was Russia, then, okay, they have to do something. And there's a whole range of things. If they have the support of the EU, of other European countries, of the United States, but look at the reaction from the United States. It talks about those responsible. It doesn't say Russia. Whether they will accept whatever evidence the UK has that it was Russia and not something else. I saw someone on television this morning saying, just giving ideas of what Russia could respond to this. He says they could easily say, you know, this was something, yes, we developed it in, I think it was in the 60s. Since then, there have been treaties that said we have destroyed everything that we had. That was, of course, the Soviet Union then. We don't know, and it's very possible that someone else has it somewhere and used it, but it wasn't us. And whether the UK has evidence to actually dispute a claim like that, I don't know. And we won't know. And Theresa May is going to have to decide what action she will take. You can do sanctions. You can do all sorts of things. A lot of it will be symbolic. You can, you know, throw out some Russian diplomats, but then you're going to face the idea that then Russia will probably respond in kind and throw out some British diplomats. It's symbolic. What it will really do, I don't know. Whether they can do sanctions, increase sanctions that are already fairly heavy against Russia from a whole lot of countries, how much backing they'll get for tougher sanctions. There are, of course, things they can do to individual Russian oligarchs and so on who have large investments and a large appearance in the UK. They can go after individuals that they think are tied to the government, assuming it is the government that they blame. Is it going to have much effect? Who knows? The big question is, what kind of evidence do they have, and is Russia going to accept blame? And probably not. And it will, it's just one of those things that's very, very difficult. As far as this being an obvious, of course it was the Russians, because they developed this nerve agent, which they just apparently figured out in the past day or something exactly what it was, which of course makes it difficult. But I don't think there's any question that it was developed by the Russians. But whether they are the only ones who, decades after they developed it, that have this and could use it. And just, as an aside, and I hate to get into conspiracy theories, but I happened over the weekend just to be watching a box set of television shows from the United States that was one of these government kind of shows.
It was the weather for it, wasn't it? Let's face it.
Yes, it was. It was. But this is a show that was made 3 or 4 years ago, and it was exactly the same thing. The U.S. government thought that the Russians had poisoned a former spy in the United States. They reacted with a cyber attack on Russia. I'm sorry, and then found out afterwards that it wasn't Russia; that it was somebody who had set this up to make the Russians look bad. So it just goes on and on and on, and so many things are possible, and it all gets down to what evidence the UK really has.
And we go live to the lines, 952-784-1000. Good morning, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Giles. Brian Loughborough here.
Morning, Brian.
Hi there. Just listen to Nathan, of course, on what he said. He always talks a lot of sense. But I think in this instance, it's far more dramatic than what Nathan is indicating. Did you listen to, did anybody listen to May's statement last night in the House of Commons at 6 o'clock?
I probably missed that one, Brian, but you obviously did.
Well, it was an extremely serious statement. A lot of stern, very stern faces in the House. And apart from Corbyn, who sort of, said, we must try to get good relations and everything, the entire House, including his own party members, MPs, were all very, very, very uptight and really angry about the whole thing. And it's an accumulation of things that she mentioned. It's not just she mentioned, the Ukraine and Crimea. And she said for the first time in history since, 1900 and frozen to death, I've forgotten the actual date that she gave, but she said, they're the first country that have actually invaded and occupied a democratic country. And that in itself has always been continually maintained by both the Americans and all the other NATO members and everything. Strongly, that was a dreadful act that they did. This is an accumulation of it. And I think with the counterintelligence doing the investigation rather than the police, as it normally would be done, that indicates the seriousness of it all. And these guys are pretty sharp and pretty clever guys, and they know what they're up to. And the statement was so positive, Giles, I believe that they really have the evidence. She wouldn't have made it as strong as she did. And there's no doubt about it that Putin, and I mentioned this a long, long time ago, and dear Sharon rang in, and I'm not going to criticize her at all because she's a lovely lady, but she rang up and sort of to some extent defended him and his activities. But this man is a dangerous man. Let's face the facts. I mean, he was denounced about 3 weeks ago as possibly now the richest man in the world. Forget about Bill Gates. They give an indication of $200 billion you know, dollars that he apparently had. And you don't accumulate that, having been a lieutenant colonel in the KGB, you don't accumulate that, you know, by investing in shares and all that kind of a thing. So he's in it, he's in up to his neck, in my opinion, and that's got to be finally proved, I think, by 12 o'clock, the deadline, I think they will go ahead and take very serious action. And it won't be a tit-for-tat swap of diplomats. It'll be far greater. They will go into all the finances in the UK for all the Russian, vast amount, trillions of money in the UK of Russian money. Where did that come from? That will initiate all the investigations it'll be a massive thing, this, one of the biggest events for a long, long time.
Brian, thanks for your call in there. Mark, what's your comeback on any of the points that we've raised so far?
Well, the thing that strikes me is pretty much what Nathan said a second or two ago. We're kind of shooting a blunderbuss to hit a peanut. You know, we don't know who is responsible. Now, if memory serves, the last time that the British government were absolutely certain about something, it ended up we were in Iraq. Now, we were wrong. We were wrong then. There's nothing saying that we're right this time. I don't know what evidence they have, but they had lots of evidence against Saddam before. So, you know, I think Theresa's got to be extraordinarily careful here. With the everything else that's going on in the world just now, with Syria and with my favourite, the Brexit thing and everything with Trump. She's got to be very, very careful not to get this one wrong. And the media baying for blood isn't helping, because, you know, they're almost backing the government into a corner saying, well, it must be the Russians. It must be. Well, yeah. I'm not going to say it's not, but I'm not going to say it is either. We don't genuinely know unless there is absolute evidence, and if there was absolutely crystal clear, clear-cut evidence that it was the Russians, something would have happened by now,
right.
I think.
Absolutely. Nathan?
Yeah. Well, exactly what Mark said. It's a question of, are they sure? And if they are, and again, they're the elected government, if they say they have the evidence to prove that, then they will go on and do whatever they will do. How much cooperation, how much they can do that will really bother the Russian government. I mean, they can go after oligarchs and they can go after investments in the UK and so on, and it will hurt individual people. Whether it will, you know, have much effect really on the attitude and the way the Russian government operates,
and also,
we don't know.
It's going to be a little bit embarrassing because this was the week, of course, that it was revealed that a Russian backers had put, or Russian oligarchs had put £800,000 to the Conservative Party coffers as well. I mean, there was a big thing about that. So that, the timing of that couldn't be better either, could it?
Well, you know, they get these all the time, don't you?
Isn't a lot of money if you're a Russian billionaire from Gazprom.
Absolutely not. No, that's small change. You'd spend that going down to the shops on a Saturday afternoon.
Got an email. Oh, we've got a caller on the line. Excuse me. You go about live to the lines 952-78-4000. Good morning. And call you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Giles, a couple of quickies again.
Yes, Brian.
On what the gentleman just said. First of all, I didn't mention to you, but the Secretary of State for America, I think it's Tillerson is his name.
Rex Tillerson, yeah.
Yeah, he just made a fairly strong statement as well. And obviously all the information was passed to them before she made a statement in the Commons last night. And I think the Iraq war comparison, I think that was a disastrous war. It should never have happened. But it's a totally different thing. This is people murdering people with the most gruesome, you know, chemicals in our country. And there's about 10 on the target list. And, you know, all this has just got to be simply stopped. And I think there's going to be a lot more dramatic. NATO have come into it now. They've started making comments. And as I said before, accumulation of things, including Crimea, I think this is the time that these people have got to be sorted out once and for all. I'm not talking about military action, any nonsense like that, but I'm talking about to let them know that the West really aren't going to be bully-boyed by this thug.
Brian, you put don't muck around, Brian, do you? Let's put that what you feel. Thanks for the call in.
But the question is, how do you show them that you are not going to be bullied? What are you going to do that is actually going to make an impression on them and make them stop what they're doing, which is obviously the goal of the whole thing?
Yeah, Nathan, this is why I find this very interesting, actually, because I think, has anybody heard the statement? It was the most serious statement I've heard for a long, long time. I'm talking about decades, made in Parliament. And it's interesting that, obviously, they talk amongst themselves and word gets around in the tea rooms and the bars and everything else. But I was amazed how many MPs from the Labour Party were really forthright in every comment that they made. And as I say, you know, it's a degree of, you know, what you believe in now, but I believe that this has happened. And I know the fact that they're supposed to have destroyed the chemicals, but, you know, you're dealing with, at the moment, Russia. And it's a country, I've been there twice, and it's a lovely country, lovely people. My wife and I met a lot of them in Moscow and in St. Petersburg, Leningrad, as we knew it at the time. And, you know, we have got a leader here who's the exception to the norm.
We're not talking, obviously, about the Russian people. We're talking about the government and what they are doing and what we believe. Yes, of course.
Yeah, and the other thing, incidentally, thanks for saying that, because last night it was strongly commented on by a number of times in Parliament that this has nothing to do with the Russian people whatsoever. This is the people who are running Russia.
But the question is, what do you do that is going to stop the Russian government from doing what they're doing? And again, we'll just have to wait and see. The one thing you talked about, Tillerson's strong statement, the U.S. Secretary of State, you remember that statement did not mention Russia by name. I don't think that was a slight. I think that was very, worked out and very conscientious that they didn't do that. We'll just have to wait and see. I don't know what the UK can do and what they will do and how far they will go with this.
Yeah, well,
we just have to wait and see.
I agree with everything you say, Nathan, and we'll just have to see now until see what their reply is.
Well, thanks for your call in again. 952-784-4000 if you want to get involved on the lines. Studio at tre.radio, the email, the Facebook page, Talk Radio Europe Official. Sean has sent in a long email on studio@tre.radio. I'll try and paraphrase it, but thank you for this. There is much more to this than meets the eye, says Sean. The notion that Russia would carry out a risky operation on the eve of its presidential elections this month in order to avenge a disgraced former spy who'd been living openly in England for the past 8 years defies credibility. It is frankly absurd, given the already heightened anti-Russia hysteria in the Western media, that the Kremlin would even contemplate such a scheme. As Dr. Alistair Hay, who is an advisor to the British government on chemical warfare agents, cautioned, in my view, it's much, much too early to point a finger at anybody at this stage. All that the internationally recognised toxicologist would venture to say is the nature of the attack had military capability because of the extreme lethality of the substances involved. If we assume that Russia was not involved, which is a fair assumption given the above reasoning, then the question is, what state agency could have carried it out for what objective? In particular, the focus is drawn here to agencies which are seeking to sabotage Europe-wide relations with Russia. As noted above, one of the ramifications of the anti-Russian allegations over the poisoning incidents was prompt pressure on the EU to show a tough response towards Moscow. Enter the Nord Stream 2 project. This is a partnership between Russian state-owned Gazprom and five private energy companies from Britain, Germany, France and the Netherlands. Last week, the US-led political campaign to scupper the Russian EU Nord Stream 2 project was given a renewed impetus. The $11 billion, 2,000-kilometer gas delivery pipeline, is nearing completion. Foreign ministers from Poland, Estonia, Lithuania and Latvia were in Washington to meet with US Secretary of State Rex Tillerson on the specific subject of the Nord Stream 2 and how it might be cancelled, reported Voice of America. Poland and the Baltic state are advocating for US supply of gas to replace traditional European source from Russia. The issue is of huge strategic importance. US President Trump has been vocal in his support for the European states switching to American gas exports, even though this would
work out much more expensive for European consumers. The point is, the campaign to undermine the Russian-EU gas partnership has come with renewed impetus, as seen in the delegation last week to Washington by the Polish and Baltic government ministers. Of course, they are pushing at an open door. American state interests are wedded to the objectives of knocking out Russia as Europe's gas supplier. Now then, the timing of an assassination bid in the UK, which is framed on Russia, this is what this is Sean putting this one across, comes at a convenient moment in the strategic tussle over Europe's global energy market. It seems significant that pressure is being brought to bear on the EU to get tough, quote unquote, on Russia over the alleged attempted murder of an exiled Russian spy. The get tough response being sought could be cancellation of the Nord 2 Stream gas project. If that stands up as a motive for the latest attempt to cleave EU-Russian relations, then our focus on the likely perpetrators shifts to the following. American state agents possibly working with British and Eastern European accomplices in trying to kill Sergei Skripal and his daughter with the purpose of blackballing Moscow. Nathan.
It's exactly the television show I talked to you about. I mean, slight difference in the details, but it's exactly the same scenario, which is, of course, when you start thinking about what else could have happened, this could be very true. The one part of this is the one thing we have to remember at this point, what the Europe does and the UK does to Russia, they do depend on Russia at this point for a large part of their gas supply. Now, the EU, it's, I think, something like half. The UK directly is only about 1%. But what the UK does is it gets most of its gas from Europe, and they buy it from Belgium, but the gas they're buying actually came from Russia to Belgium, and then Belgium resells it, which means if, again, Russia started shutting off the gas as they have done in the past. So the question is, if you start really cracking down on Russia in one way or another, are you facing, you know, a problem on that area?
And we're going live to the lines. Very, very busy. Thank you for holding, caller. What's your name? Where you're calling from? Excuse me. What's your viewpoint, please?
Bob Danford, Costa Blanca.
Good morning, Bob.
These two, they pinched the secrets from Russia, I understand. But who was paying them? Was it France? Britain?
How do you mean paying for the? What do you mean? Well, who were they passing the secrets to, Bob?
These two have been gassed because they were taking secrets from Russia. Well, that's why they're blaming Russia for gassing them. Now, if who was paying these two for information? Was it Britain, France, Spain?
Well, I think we'll find
this is the thing. If we'll find out who was paying them, we'll know who's caused the trouble.
But Bob, thanks for the thing. I think you'll find they're passing on the information to the British government. I think you'll find.
Yeah, were they paying them? Yeah.
Well, they will
so
be.
It all comes back to Britain.
It all comes back to Britain. How? Because
they were paying people to go in and pinch secrets.
Well, they weren't paying them to go in. They were there. I mean,
this is true.
Well, I don't think there's any.
Somebody was paying them, and this is why Russia gassed them. Somebody was paying them for this information. Who was it?
Well, they were passing on the information to the British authorities, so that and the Western intelligence, Bob. So I think that's pretty much who would have benefited from that information.
And that was 8-10 years ago, because he was traded in a spy for spy trade deal. He was jailed in Russia for having done this, and then he was traded. I don't know how many years ago, but he's been living in the UK for 8 years. So this is historic. I mean, the one. Reason that people give that Russia would still do this at this point is to remind people that we will go get, if you go against us, as a Russian, which this guy was a Russian citizen, he was a Russian official or military, I'm not sure which, but and spied for somebody else, even if it's 8-10 years later, we will get you. I mean, that is one way of looking at a reason that Russia would do it. Why they would do it at this point, I don't know. But to just as a warning to other Russians, it doesn't matter how long ago, we will eventually get you.
Let's Thank you for calling. I've got to go to the other line. We're very busy this morning. Good morning, caller. Thank you for holding. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What is your viewpoint, please?
I'm Kate Costaranka.
Morning, Kate.
Reinforcing one of the previous speaker's words, which is, I can't think why they would do it now. Yes, it was Nathan. And the penultimate caller, the one of the very long and incredibly detailed commentary on Russian...
Indeed, yes.
I was trying to follow desperately, but what I do remember, and this seemed to me very, very apposite, was the, right at the beginning, you know, who is damaged by this thing breaking now? And the answer is, it's more damaging for Putin than in his favour. You know, I think the man is strong enough to allow, you know, ride this particular storm. But it's not the time that he would have chosen, is it, just before elections? So it seems to me it's internal Russian fighting.
Kate, thanks for your comment there. 952-78-4000, the phone number. Talk Radio Europe Official is the email, and the Facebook page, if you wish to leave a post, is Talk Radio Europe Official. Going, sorry, to studio at tre.radio, the email. Ray has written in, even if the UK, excuse me, even if the UK had firm evidence, what can the UK really do against Russia? I can't think of anything that the Russians would notice as being anything more than a slight inconvenience to them. It is as a member of the EU that the UK's voice was heard loudly, but sadly not nowadays. So what I mean, apart from putting the UK, the English football team, out of the Russian World Cup, which some would say would be a, you know, a godsend for all concerned, trust me on this one. The Scottish Member of Parliament is nodding his head. You know, what can apart from largely symbolic, I mean, Theresa May saying this is seen as an attack on the British mainland. Mark, I mean, they're not going to send the fighter jets up to...
No, absolutely not. That's a ludicrous statement to go into a full war footing with Russia. There's very little that we can do that's going to make a massive difference to them, because they've got their hands on the gas, basically. And let's be honest, it's one of those situations where, unfortunately, we are in a weakened position because we need the gas. It's like Nathan said earlier on, we maybe only use 1% of what comes from Russia, but we actually buy it from the EU, which buys a lot more. But just one very quick thing. Do you honestly think that Putin or anybody high up in the Russian government are of a mind that they want to make a big thing of this by using Cold War tactics to poison this is straight out of James Bond. This is, you know, if Putin wants somebody gone, they're gone quietly and nobody ever knows about it.
Not in the middle of a Zizi restaurant,
exactly.
Salisbury. Let's go live to the lines again. They've been very busy this morning, as I thought they might be. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. Thanks for your call in. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, hi, it's John from Los Angeles.
Morning, John.
Well, a lot of conspiracy theories here. You boys should get your boxes out of Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, whatever you think.
Just thinking the same thing.
But Russia gets the blame. I'm not a Putin fan, but Russia gets the blame for everything. Effectively, I meant we always mention Crimea and Ukraine, but we always seem to forget we've had 30 years of democratically elected governments in the Ukraine. This was the first one overturned by force in the Ukraine. They've all been controlled by the oligarchs. It's the most corrupt country in Europe, and effectively the first diktat they did, which sparked this off, was they're going to ban the Russian language. Well, we should all realize that 95%, the first language of Crimea is 95% Russian. And that was the same thing telling the eastern Ukraine, it's about 90% there. So they were telling the ethnic Russians, which there's huge amounts in, and that they really weren't wanted. But that apart, we're talking about, when you mentioned the Brian, excuse me a second, sorry, the $200 billion Brian was talking about came from Bill Browder. And Bill Browder, I wouldn't trust him. I'd probably be on a par with Putin. He was kicked out of Russia after his hedge fund, and he's been after, they've been in trouble ever since. If anybody's going to be assassinated, it'd be him. But apart from that, the UK does have a very strong, mind you, it's $20 billion, I'm told, It's all guesswork. But there is a certain thing that people don't look at in the UK. The UK has a strength, huge strength for Russia in one way, but I don't think it'll ever do it. Forget the funds that are in the UK. It's now known that 40 to 50% of the world's hidden wealth is held by UK protectorates, British Virgin Islands, etc. Now, if they froze that money there, and the UK has been a huge point, magnetic point for Russians, which all the money's been stolen anyway, a huge magnetic point for them. If they wanted to do something and they froze the money, the offshore money, not the money in the UK banks, the offshore money, that would be a huge problem. It would create a problem for us, but they do have the strength to do that. And America has the ultimate strength, which Putin said would be declaring war if they cut off their, enable them to do their finances worldwide. That would be a huge thing. So there's plenty of strength there. I would say nobody's got the guts to do anything about it, though, particularly the British Virgin Islands, because of probably a whole stack of UK politicians, businessmen all over the world who have their money offshore in the British Virgin Islands and elsewhere.
So hit them in the purse strings. Thanks very much for that. We've got calls coming in all over the place. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. 952-78-4000. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please? Hello, caller.
Giles?
Yes, good morning, caller. Is that Hans?
Good morning, Hans from Dania.
Good morning, Hans.
Well, first of all, I do not agree with John because people speaking there, 95% is a too high figure. My wife is Russian. I know a bit about it. But, I mean, in Southern California, there's a lot of Spanish speakers, right? So why should Mexico then invade it and act it? Because, well, no excuse that Russia occupied Crimea, in my opinion. But another thing, Charles, I mean, I don't know why you make so much fuss out of this. I mean, not you personally, the people itself. When you chose to be a radio presenter, or I chose to be a waiter in the days ahead, we probably thought of how dangerous would be the job we are doing. So this guy did not only choose to be a spy, no, he chose to be a double spy to make probably a lot of money with his activities. And the danger he was doing this must have been pretty obvious to him. I only feel really sorry about the daughter. But again, if I would go and do such a dangerous job, and you probably as well, you would think about who the backlash for my family, whatever things could happen if I do this in order to make loads of money, could be pretty serious. And this is now what happened. But you follow me?
I do indeed follow you.
I mean, he was a double spy and he was killed now, even after 8 years or whatever, he gave up his activities. But probably in doing what he was doing, maybe I saw too many Third Man or Mission Impossible movies. But he could have made problems for a lot of people around him in this time. And maybe someone was just sitting in a prison for the last years and came out now and said, fella, I'm after you because you, whatever you did bring a lot of harm to me or to my group.
It could be a settling of scores, Hans. It could be sort of a rogue agent then with something something in his murky past to get back, is what you're saying.
Of course it could be. I mean, if you're in this environment, in drug dealing, in spying, I'm just looking narcos.
Careful, Hans. I can hear the sound of a car coming towards you in the background there. Thanks for the call in, Hans.
You're welcome. 952-78-4000.
And actually, yes, it was the danger that attracted me to this role as a radio presenter, just so you know. It certainly wasn't the cash. We're going live to the lines again. Thank you for holding, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Would that be I?
It would indeed, Jason. Good afternoon to you, even.
Hello, good morning.
Thanks, sir.
So, in the interest of impartiality, it's so easy, you know, all the Russia bashing and things, it's totally counterproductive on a world scale. It only seeks to isolate a country, whether it be banning them from Olympics, excluding them. It's not a good way to go forward. And what happened to innocent until proven guilty, it might be a rogue element. It doesn't necessarily have to be government sanctioned. Everybody speculates and assumes the worst. When America, for example, bombs a hospital in a war, it's called collateral damage. When Russia accidentally bombs a convoy, it's a war crime. So it's absolutely blatant hypocrisy, in my opinion. What do you feel about that?
Blatant hypocrisy. We'll come to that point in a minute as well. Unless you want to come back, when the Americans get involved with something like this, perhaps they do it more subtly, more discreetly, perhaps than the Russians do. Rogue elements do.
Well, this is one of the points that Mark made. You know, if Russia really just wanted to eliminate this guy, they did it pretty badly for it becoming a public event like this. I mean, you know, it's almost whether it was the Russians who just didn't care, or as I said earlier, and we're talking about possibilities here. We don't have the faintest idea, but Russia could have been still trying to send a message to others because it is afraid of double agents within its own country. And, you know, this would be a message which would have to be public as it is, that no, it may be 8 years, 10 years after the fact, but if you go against us, we will get you.
I reckon that this will all come out in the wash probably in about 3 or 4 years, and we won't know anything about who's done what until then, because Ron Howard will bring out the film and we'll see it at the end, and that's how we'll figure it out.
The Salisbury effect.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Going live to the lines again, 952-78-4000. Good morning. You're calling. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Raymond from Mallorca.
Morning, Raymond.
Good morning. I'd like to sort of look at this from another perspective. Okay, we gather our information from media sources, yes?
Correct.
I've got an insight because I mentioned on the program before, I teach English to speakers of other languages. At the moment, I have 4 Russian ladies as students. What I've discovered is they're very pro-British. They've never had any reason to dislike the UK. Russian children are taught in school about the North Atlantic convoys when Britain purchased equipment from America for very extortionate prices and gave it to the Soviets to open a second front. The kids love us. One of my students is a 9-year-old girl. She thinks we're absolutely fabulous, what we did for them. They actually like us. Now, as far as Putin goes, the thing is, you see, what you must learn to understand is Russians think differently. It's the sort of thing Putin would do to strengthen his position. But the forthcoming election in Russia is merely a formality anyway. He's not going anywhere. He's the boss, and he's going to stay the boss. Also, we have this thing about innocent until proven guilty. But, we don't know. So we don't know if he's behind it or not behind it. But if he is, it's actually a coup for him. He's showing his people he can strike anywhere. He doesn't actually care what the UK thinks. He doesn't really care what Europe thinks. He doesn't like Europe at all. Money, yes, he's extremely wealthy. They reckon nothing is permitted without his go-ahead. He wears a wristwatch worth about £500,000. So, you know, you don't have to use words like organised crime, do you? But anyway, he runs the whole place. He's extremely popular. I think our Prime Minister's been a little silly here. What we don't need to do is we don't need to antagonise people who we may not agree with their politics, but they could be very, very good trading partners post-Brexit, you see. We've taken so much flack from these idiots in Brussels. I think we're going about this the wrong way completely. And, of course, the last scenario naturally shouldn't happen. It's not going to happen. But a recently retired British Army general said if there was a war between the UK and Russia, it would be over in days. We wouldn't have a chance. We just don't have the capability. We don't have the manpower. We don't have the equipment. The soldiers we do have are not what they were, whereas the Russians have got the finest in the world. They're highly trained, highly motivated, best equipment. They are, under his leadership, they have spent a lot of money on research and development on new weapons. I mean, this last summer they unveiled 4 new aircraft, and one of them is the new MiG-35, which is absolutely state-of-the-art. There's nothing like it in the world to compete. No American old F-22 can compete with this new thing. I think, in a way, the guy's preparing for something. He definitely is. What it is, we don't know. He's got no time for Europe. There's another thing you have to remember about the Russian, okay? The Great Patriotic War. As far as the Russians go, the Germans haven't really paid in full for what they did to the Soviet Union, yeah? He's got plans. And one, I tell you what's on the card sooner or later, he's going to go into Latvia.
Right then. Well, that's an interesting, Raymond. That's an interesting thing.
Well, it's actually all it is. It's personal contact with real people. It's not internet. It's not Facebook. This is actually Russian people that I meet on a regular basis as students, and they tell me how they feel. That's all it is. I think it's probably a better source That's just my opinion.
Thank you very much for that, Raymond. 952-78-4000, the phone number. Studio at talkradioeurope.com is the email. It's live to another caller. 952-78-4000, good morning, caller. Thank you for holding. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please? And we seem to have lost that caller.
Now, more than ever, we're your voice in Spain.
Talk Radio Europe.
Viewpoint
with Giles Brown.
Live and lively as always. We're talking Russian spies in running amok in Salisbury. We're talking the UK government's response. And we're taking a lot of phone calls on 952-78-4000. Studio at tre.radio and Talk Radio Europe Official is the Facebook page. Going live to the lines. Good morning, caller. Thank you for holding. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, my name's Don. I'm phoning from Benalmádena.
Good morning, Don.
Hi there. Just a quick one. I really agree with what a lot of the other people said. I mean, firstly, we haven't really got much of an army left. We've depleted most of it by cuts to fight anything near Russia. So if we decided to get very stroppy with them, we'd be going back to Trump and asking him to help us. And the second thing is, what was we doing with defected Russians walking around, you know, spies as such? We was sheltering Russian defective spies in our country. What do you expect? If it was the other way around, what would we be doing to them, you know?
Indeed. You can't have defective Russians walking around Salisbury.
Yeah, they're walking around there. They were the spying for Britain or whatever it is they were doing, and they shouldn't have been in the country anyway.
Okay.
That's my opinion, anyway.
Don, thank you for your caller in there, Dom. 952-78-4000. Again, I've got another caller on the line, then we'll come to you, Nathan. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE.
Good morning. Good morning. It's Paul.
Good morning, Paul.
What you got to think to yourself, why is he done away with now? I mean, when he was in prison, they could have done away with him. You know, they had loads of times to get rid of this guy if they really wanted to, instead of just letting him go, you know, for some other spy, and then letting him loose for all these years, and then all of a sudden wanting him got rid of. So you've got to ask yourself, why at this particular time?
Why at this particular time? Thanks for the call in there. Perhaps Nathan can let us know a little bit more about that or have a theory on that one.
Well, I just, as I said before, I mean, it may be simply Russia putting out a warning to other people who might think they are going to do the same thing that he did, that no matter how long it takes, we will get you at some point. And there's no question that that would, you know, deter some people from turning to the other side. As far as the caller before who said, what was he doing walking around the streets of London or of Salisbury? He was traded as a spy, ostensibly working for or passing information to the British. They traded people for him and, you know, gave him probably what they promised him, you know, when he was spying against his own country, Russia. And they promised him, you know, a good life in the UK, which he was having and had for 8 years. Now, whether he was, you know, once he got in the UK, he was just kind of turned loose and, hello, have a nice life, or whether there was any security around him or not, I have no idea. I would guess probably not. But, you know, it wasn't like in the United States where they have, you know, the witness protection program or whatever, where they give you a new identity and so on. He was living, you know, under his old Russian name. I mean, it wasn't any secret that he was there or anything else. So he was there, it seems, quite legitimately. You know, why Russia would have done it now, that's the only reason I can think of, is a warning to others, don't do what he did or we'll get you.
Let's go to Life to the Lines again, 952-78-4000. Good morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Sharon Alicante.
Morning, Sharon.
I, morning. I just think the anti-Russian propaganda in the UK media, or probably the Western media, is breathtaking. And I totally agree with Jason. It's hypocritical. We're bumping people off all the time. You don't mean there's a grandma who was involved in CND for many years. And when she was about to go to court to reveal what was going on in the nuclear industry about 20 years ago, she died under very strange circumstances. So we're doing the same thing, but just not in such an overt manner. I don't think it's Putin to need the elections. This fear of Russia, I think, is born through a fear of Russia's power. I find it's almost boring. I listen to the World Service on a few occasions, and it's Russia. They seem to bring up an anti-Russian sentiment in nearly every program that comes on, to the point where I turn it off because it's almost boring. I think Sean's email was spot on, and Kate was spot on, as always. Just to say, if we did a trade deal with Russia, I think we'd be alienated. The anti-Russian propaganda in the West, we'd be alienated. But anyway, thanks a lot. Cheers. Bye.
Thanks for that, Sharon. Coming up, Mark, can I have a quick comment there?
Yeah, as far as the alienation is concerned, if we did a trade deal with Russia, I think that to an extent you're probably right, but as Trump said just recently, he respects Putin. He doesn't have to like the man, but he does respect him, and I don't think there would be any problem whatsoever as far as the US at least is concerned if we did do trade deals with Russia. I think there's far more important things. Jack Straw was on a program the other day, going on at how this was all down to Brexit, and he got laughed off the program. He absolutely laughed off the program, because if we weren't going through with Brexit, it would be a unified European Union, which Russia would be going up against. And you got to laugh at that, because Russia could walk over Europe any time it wants to.
Strange enough, just sent an email in saying, personally, I think it's all a big fat distraction from the real disaster, which is Brexit.
I knew we'd get on this somehow.
Just want to go quickly to a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. Thank you for holding. You're live on the line. Who's calling, please?
It's John Dodd from, Malaga.
Good morning, John. What's your viewpoint today?
Well, this all started, well, whether it's just started then, I don't know, but you've got to go a long, long years back to Trotsky. The FBI at the time said it was results of a Saturday night piss-up, but in actual fact, they'd been stabbed to death in his brain box with an ice pick and by two assassins sent by Stalin. But with all the paperwork that was necessary in those days to travel from Russia to, but they got there, didn't they? Obviously, via
the assassination of Trotsky in Mexico.
That's it. You've got New Mexico, though. I think that's a bit more respectable, isn't it? But anyway, then it goes further forward to where the Americans killed electrocuted the Krugers. Now, wait for this, because the only clue they had of any Russian connection about, not that they were atomic bomb not knowledgeable people like Guy Fieldby, Burgess and McLean.
Right.
That is that the MI5 didn't go over to Russia and bump off Guy Fieldby, Burgess and McLean. Quite simply, they probably would love to, but they'd get caught.
John, thanks for that call. I've got to go to a quick break.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Into the last 2 minutes of the first section of Viewpoint, Nathan, and then we've got a caller on the line.
I think one thing that has happened with all of this, and I agree that governments do assassinate people, kill people, usually more subtly than this. And I think part of the problem that the UK has with this is the fact that it is so blatant. Now, whether it was intended to be as blatant as it was and turn into this huge story and huge event that it's been, or whether somebody screwed up and something didn't go right and it just happened, I don't know. But I think the big problem that the UK has is it seems like this is open season for anybody going after anybody. There was Litvinenko, there was this one, there have been other ones, and I think the UK is extremely upset that anybody, whether it's Russia or whoever, feels that they can just come and do their assassinations in the UK and not have a problem with it.
We're going live to the lines here. Good morning, Port Cooley. You're live on TRE. We've only got a minute and a bit, so go live to
you
now, caller.
It's Peter. Very quickly, I'm not going to try and second-guess any of these governments. We'll never know the truth. But as far as the British government's concerned, who was the guy found under the tree after the weapons of mass destruction guy who had his wrist cut? Also, 2012, Vince Cable was questioned why the UK, a UK anonymous firm, was sending potassium and sodium fluoride to Syria during the Civil War, which are both precursors for nerve gas. So they're all at it. The worrying thing is, as Jason and Sharon said, I just walked into a shop and it's front page of the Sun newspaper. For some reason, for the last few years, they've been agitating and agitating and stirring in Russia that something is going to happen or something, they want something to happen, and Russia is being portrayed as the big bad wolf out there. And it's frightening that, like Nathan just said, the reason it's in the public domain, they want it in the public domain. They want this fear out there. And not since the Cold War have we seen anything like it. But it's quite frightening that it's got to the point where the general public are seeing it in their newspapers now. So I'll leave you on that.
Perfect timing there, Peter, because we come to the end of the first half of Viewpoint. We'll be back after the international and national news here on TRE Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain.